Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a survey in the UK of 5,000 young people between the ages of 11 and 18 found that a majority of them would like to reduce their screen time, but they also said they don't know how to, which sounds suspiciously like addiction. We're joined by the psychotherapist Stella O'Malley. Good afternoon, Stella.
Hi there.
The use of screens, not just by young people, older people do it too. Are there indications there which you would say it has some of the signs of addiction?
Yeah, people get very hot under the collar about the word addiction. So you could say it's dysfunctional use. Certainly it's not helpful and it's not healthy very often. I'd be kind of shying away from the word addiction. But it's very difficult when a kid has been kind of brought up with a phone at all times, at every kind of moment of peace, they reach for their phone. They have this kind of reflex where their kind of hand goes out for their phone, and it's become a kind of a very common kind of physical response to being bored as you look for your phone. So I do think there's a very deep dysfunction, and it's very understandable because they grew up with phones. They grew up with them from the age of very, very young, that every time they were bored, they were given a phone.
Yeah, though, and they grew up while their brains were still forming, using these phones. So therefore, could one perhaps infer that the phone usage has had a direct effect on their brain development?
Oh, without a doubt. Like from the age of kind of zero to kind of early 20s, the brain is forming. And from the age of about 10 onwards, it's complexifying. And so we're hardwiring ourselves in for life all the time. It's a kind of a site. It's like a building site under formation for those first 20 odd years. And there's no doubt about it that we are actually shaping our brain for life when you're kind of doing very heavy, kind of continued repetitive use. And that's what we're doing with phones. So there's no doubt about it that it's shaping our brains. And we don't know how, because we've never done it before. So we have no idea what's going to be the long-term impact. I would imagine a massive resistance to boredom is going to bring us a lot of trouble in the future. A resistance to kind of being in a queue, to just kind of standing in a bus stop without doing anything. The fact that we never have our brains off and that we have to kind of go on in a retreat and kind of put our heads under kind of cold water to kind of turn our brains off, that's going to have a big impact kind of across the generation, if you think about it.
Is that a cultural change or a psychological change?
You see, yeah, I think it's going to be a psychological change for the generation who didn't ever have any breathing space without phones. And that will lead to an actual cultural change where there will be kind of acceptance kind of very kind of hot-headed impulsive responses to any sort of delays or any sort of waiting around. But I do think that there's a backlash, and I think there's a strong backlash coming. Jonathan Haidt wrote the book, The Anxious Generation. It was just released about 6 months ago, and it's brilliant. And it's an analysis of the impact of smartphones on the younger generation and how they've become very, very anxious. And as a result, he's really pushed forward this concept of the phone-free schools. And you know what? They're being taken up. There's over 60 schools in London that have signed up to being phone-free. There's schools in Ireland who are phone-free. There really is an acceptance that we need to change the culture. Once upon a time, everybody smoked. When I was growing up, everybody smoked. And now, really not that many people smoke. So you can bring in cultural change, but there has to be cultural will to bring it in.
Yeah. No, well, I suppose it's an interesting contradiction, a comparison with smoking, and that smoking is an addiction, to go back to my original question.
Well, I'd go back to another analogy, actually, which I think might be better, is when cars first came. Because when we first had cars, it was kind of a free-for-all. They drove anywhere they wanted. There was no traffic lights. There was no safety features. There was no seat belts. Children under 16, whatever. People were driving cars there was no driving license. There was no restrictions. Over the years, over the decades, we've brought in more and more restrictions and safety features around driving a car. So it's been completely assimilated into society that you have to bring in restrictions around it. And that took a long time. Actually, there was an awful lot. If you look at the deaths on the road in the 1970s in Ireland, they were like triple the number than what they are now, even though cars drove much slower at the time and weren't half as powerful. And so we cottoned on to the damage that was being done. And it took us a very long time to. And I see that very similarly with phones, except the use among children is so high. And so it's that little bit more dangerous.
Yeah. And you know, well, there's all sorts of like having phone-free schools and maybe other legislative approaches to this. But for that generation who have grown up with a screen in their hand, is it just a matter of getting them to kick a habit, or is it also a matter of getting them to think a different way, to kind of rewire their brains to a certain extent? Because the idea of boredom or a moment's inattention just seems to be, anathema to them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, in fairness, that like people will be probably texting in saying, you know, I blame the parents and these kids need to just put their phones down. And I push back a bit on that and say there's a multi-billion euro industry that every single time you put your phone down, there's a multi-billion industry trying to get you to pick it back up. And by God, with the pings and the notifications and the this and the that, and the fact your homework is coming in on your phone and your GAA schedule is coming in on your phone, and whether you're getting a lift or not is coming in on your phone. And we've made it the same center of gravity of society's life. And so in fairness to the young people, no more than the older people, we need to kind of culturally address that. And that would mean schools not giving homework on phones, not letting them take a photo. No, you have to write it down, because actually the impact of having the phone center, that means you can't take your phone off your child as a sanction or a punishment, because their phone is, you know, the homework is on the phone, so you can't. You know what I mean? It's like it's embedded within society. So the ability of a 15-year-old to kind of self-discipline themselves is very limited. And that's where I think we have to be honest and say that actually big tech, and this is where John Haidt was very good. He said big tech at a flick of a switch could actually put in control so that it was easy for a parent to control their media. But they don't do it for obvious reasons, for profit-driven reasons. But actually, we have to accept that it's more than just the parents need to take them out. But there are some things, I don't want to be all doom and gloom and say it's all big tech. You could, for example, make your kitchen tech-free. Nobody's allowed to take phone calls in the kitchen. Like cigarettes, you have to smoke outside. You're not allowed to have your phone in the kitchen. You're not allowed to have your phone in the bedroom. Although people seem to have a heart attack when I say that. And I'm like, there's lots of things you can do in the bedroom that are fine without your phone. You don't need your phone. Yeah, but people are very resistant.
Some people might need their phone for some of those things. Stella, thank you very much for talking with us today. That was the psychotherapist, Stella O'Malley there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.